Hey yo, oh man, I almost said actuaries. It's so funny. Hey there, outliers. Niyama Sean here. Gotta get myself in the game, you know. And that was literally what I was saying beforehand. And it feels like a stumble start. And the fun and cool part about this year is like I'm gonna keep all this in the episode here because I believe like sometimes we do stumble. Right. When we do, the question is, what do you do afterwards? Right. How quickly can you finish the race? I'm watching something on Netflix right now with a lot of physical people. And like I'm seeing people come back over and over and over again and then come and surpass those that were behind them. And so maybe this is coming from that place, but I love that energy of like of not just the grit, but like we can do it. So why not? Right. And today we have an incredible outlier to join us here on the Outliers podcast, where we champion the leaders who are shaping the next era of humanity by helping them leverage what makes them different to make their difference. This leader in particular knows what it's like to come to make a comeback, knows what it's like to like be like to have to come and make something no matter what, because the game is on. Today I had the absolute pleasure to talk to Jennifer Megan. Jennifer, how are you today?
Wow, what a nice introduction. I was taking notes. Thank you so much, Nyama. I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much
Yeah,
for having me.
thank you. I'm laughing internally. I'm like, yeah. So for everyone out there, all you outliers, when you get on a, when you start a podcast, stumble first, you know, stumble over your words, and then come. Hey,
That
well, so we're gonna have some fun. Like when I think about you in particular, like I really do think like just like I think really great energy, but I do think about like the element of like. I'm going to use the word athleticism, like being an athlete. So last 2 years ago, I made a decision to become an athlete for the first time. Yeah, it's not that I haven't played sports before, but I was picking up a game called beach handball, and I made the decision. I said, okay, if I'm going to do this, I don't want to just do this as a workout. I don't want to do it to get fit or to like do some exercise. I want to become an athlete. And so, and then after I said I want to become an athlete, I'm like, well. Then I'm still going to do the stage of becoming. Why don't I just be, like choose right now? I am an athlete. I might be the worst athlete in this entire city, you know, but I am still an athlete, you know. And I think that like, we're going to get a chance to get to know you a little bit more. But one of the things that I've picked up from you as we go on is that like, you consistently find ways to play your game bigger and bigger and to like take and build upon the lessons that you've learned in the past to keep getting you new opportunities and to make those opportunities available for others. So I'm very excited to see what we make out of this conversation. Jennifer, can you do outliers a favor here and let them get to know you a bit personally and professionally? Tell us a little bit about your story.
Sure. So I am a public speaking and leadership consultant. So I work with executives, entrepreneurs, and the goal is to make sure, like you said, to elevate your game as a public speaker, as a leader as well, because I truly believe that when you can express yourself, you have clarity. And when you have clarity, you are able to lead and to lead people, which is very important. And in another life, because you mentioned, how you become an athlete. And in another life, I was a professional tennis player. And you're right, when you said in the introduction, I took basically everything I learned on the tennis court, and I'm using that on daily basis when I work with my clients. And what I learned as well, school, because I studied in the US. For the people actually who are listening, I'm French, born and raised in France, and I did my university in the US and my master's degree in the UK. And all those things that I've learned throughout the years, I really like to use that and create my own unique way of coaching. But in my mind, I will always be an athlete. So whatever I do, when I coach someone, it's always with that mindset of like, how can we take you to the next level to get your win? And your win is not winning against other people. It's your winning against yourself. My goal is to win against myself every single day. So that's why I'm in a nutshell.
I really love this year and the component of like what an athlete means to you and to continue to keep that thread line. And I'd like to, throughout this conversation, we're going to be focusing on a lot of different things. I want to actually start with something that feels really interesting because you said in another life, right? But you still keep the thread of the athlete going. I think that a lot of us have lived multiple lives in some way. A lot of us outliers here, especially. And I'll use myself as an example. When I left like the actuarial career life to go and do like learning and development, I left it behind. I didn't use, I'm like, no one could know I use Excel. No one could know like I can do math, like all this. I just left. And then when I went to coaching, I was like, no one's gonna know I do tech, you know? So on and so forth. How have you been able to can you give us an example maybe here of how you've been able to bridge and build upon that, like your athlete life or your, no, shit, it's your professional tennis player life to what you do now.
It's very interesting. And actually, when I start playing, I kind of, yeah, not I don't want to say kill that life, but I put it behind because I am very comfortable with people doing multiple things. I think it's actually very amazing and it actually shows a lot about your personality. But what I've realized is that people have a tendency to put you in a box, not because they are ill-intended, but because it's easier for the brain to be like, okay, this is this person, this is Yama, he does that, and it does, and this is Jennifer, she does that. And whenever I was bringing the fact that, I was a former professional tennis player, and at the time, I have a journalism degree, and I was talking about the journalism, people were completely ignoring the journalism, which is what I was focusing on. And they were always talking about the tennis. Oh, you play tennis? Oh, I played tennis once when I was 10. We should play together, which pisses me off, by the way. And I was always like, okay, no. And it was a bit distracting. But then I understood that actually it wasn't my role to be ashamed of my past. So I say in another life, because I also felt that when I was a player, I always knew that one day I would stop playing. And actually, it's a funny story because I was talking about somebody one day and I realized that for me, it's actually very easy to change and to do different things very easily. And I never really understood why. And because one day, I took a teaching job and my mom was like, I don't know how you always do those things. You just do this. And then you're like, oh, one day I'm going to be like a teacher. And I was like, yeah, well, it makes sense because I know I can do it. But then I didn't know why. And then I realized why. So when I was little, there was a TV show called The Pretender. I don't know if you remember it.
Well, tell me
And
more.
okay, so that show, I think that's the English name. The French name is Le Caméléon, the Caméléon. And there was this guy, so his name is Jarod. Jarod is that guy who was taken away from his family, put in a center, and he was taught everything, like every single skill a human can have, he actually was brought up that way. So when Jarod becomes an adult, he escapes, but then he has this incredible ability of doing anything he wants. So one day he's a neurosurgeon, the next day he's an astrophysicist, and he's always brilliant. He's not just can do it, he actually can really do it. And it's me, Jennifer, at 8, 10, and I literally, my brain was just like, got like an electroshock. And I was just like, when I grow up, I want to be freaking Jarod. And I really meant it. And I forgot about it. But then I just remember that I was just always that thing. Like there was always this idea. I was always fascinated by people doing multiple things. So yeah, I dedicated like 20 years of my life playing tennis. But at the same time, there was always that thing of like me wanting to do multiple things. And I was always fascinated by people who can do multiple things. Fast forward 2 years ago, I'm at home working in a mission, communication stuff, and then I have the TV on and I'm flipping through the channels. And for a long time, this ability of doing different things was not something that was seen as positive because people was like, oh, you're always doing different things, like you're kind of unstable. But something in me was telling me this is right, but society was telling me it's wrong. So I'm doing my thing and I'm flipping through the channels. I don't even know why. Sometimes I really think like life is, I mean, is amazing. And I'm like just flipping through the channels and I go to a channel I actually never watch, like never watch a channel. And for whatever reason, it's a commercial. Usually you just skip through it. For whatever reason, I decide to stay on the channel. And then when the commercial breaks finishes, I recognize in 1 second it was a rerun of that show. And it's like my brain just like exploded, like, yeah, okay, it makes freaking sense now. This is it. Like it's like everything I've been like struggling. Why am I trying? Why can't I just be like a one-trick pony? And it was like, no, you cannot be. And that was like, that was it. And it was like, yeah, because, and then I remembered, I literally saw myself, I'm not lying to you, I saw myself little, you know, doing my stretching, watching the show, because it was after practice, telling myself, when I grow up, I will be Jarod, I'll be able to do whatever I want, whenever I want. So for me, there was always this idea of transition. And that's why for me, it's easy. And I see them when I speak with my tennis friends, they don't have that. They become coaches. They feel like they have to be stuck in a tennis world, which I never understood, because like, why are you stuck here? I mean, just there's so much more than the tennis world, trust me. So that's why for me, it's always been that ability of like doing things, being curious. I'm a very curious person, and exploring. And I feel like, yeah, you cannot do one thing your whole life. And then when I look around, I realize that my thesis of life is getting the best I can be and empowering people to do the same. So even when I coach tennis, that's what I was doing. When I was teaching, that's what I was doing. When I'm doing my work with my client nowadays, this is what I'm doing. So different missions, but same person, same energy. So I don't know if I answered your question, but that's really why it was so easy for me to transition, like it, and to transition from other worlds, because yeah, my brain was like, yeah, I'm gonna be like Gerard. So that's what I've been doing ever since. But it makes sense to me. It makes perfect sense. But for sometimes for people, it doesn't. But hey, they're
I
not
love
me.
this year. It's like, so y'all, if you're not watching the video, like I recognize I've had this smile on my face ever since you mentioned the
Yeah.
pretender. Like, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger as it goes on. And I what part of what it is it's like the simplicity of life, right? And like the simplicity of a choice. Like, and my coaches, I spent a lot of time going back and be like, what was the choice that you made when you were younger? You made a choice when you were
Yeah.
eight. That
Yeah.
like was a very empowering choice, right? I can do anything at the highest level by just snapping my fingers. If this is what I need to be now, then so be it, right? And it's so cool because it's juxtaposed with like you spent 2 decades doing work in one area, you
Yeah.
know? And then when it was time to go, you were like, all right,
Yeah.
like I'm ready to
Why
go.
not?
It's still a part of me, but like this next thing, and then this next thing,
Absolutely.
and then this next thing.
Yeah.
I like outliers. I really do recommend that like you take some time to think about this for yourself, because the chances are, if you're an outlier, you've lived multiple lives, you've done different areas, like you've worked in different parts of your life, you've lived in different places in the world, so on and so forth. And the question that I have right now is like, where are you stuck? Where are you not allowing yourself to actually like evolve beyond what has been? To go to the next thing. If you could for a little bit be Jaron and be, and I
Yeah.
say I try to put a little bit of the accent in, like I don't know if I
Yeah.
got it, but like if you could do that, what would you allow yourself to do? What would you allow yourself to do?
You know what's funny, and I really don't believe in coincidence, and I was just thinking that a question that I now want to ask myself every day, actually, that I had that breakthrough 2 days ago. So it's very, very fresh. But I was like, okay, if I was getting rid of the shame and the guilt that we carry, how would I act? What would I do? Because I think that, yes, I play tennis at a high level, but I didn't make to the Grand Slam. I didn't become Venus or Serena. So there was part of me that was like not even legit, that I don't really talk about it, that I don't consider myself as a former professional tennis player. Now I say it because I want to co not to convince myself, but because I'm like, people try to take away things from you, but that's my story and I should be proud of it. So then it's like, but there are moments where you still kind of feel like, oh, okay, well, you know, you feel like you could have done better. And I just had that thing like 2 days ago, because I like to have all those kind of thinking. And I was asking myself, how would you act if you were get rid of that, you know, shame, or, you know, the guilt that, oh, you know, maybe I should have done better in that area. How would you act? What would you do? And I think that for me, it's really like allowing yourself that you can go even higher, but not for the sake of like being higher, but most into in a way to push your human experience what can I experience more if I was just getting rid of the fear? Because fear is everywhere. It's funny because before I jumped on the call, I was having a call with my sister and my niece. My niece is 14 and she's playing tennis. And I was telling her, hey, you know, most of the belief that we have and the fears are not even ours. It's something that we got from other people, or even like it's like even a genetic things. I mean, I'm not an expert, but most of the fears and beliefs that we have are, don't even belong to us. Because she was saying, yeah, I'm stressed. And I was like, oh, yes, that's what you have learned. But I very much remember you as a child, how fearless you were. And I'm not just saying that to be nice. Like I have like tons of story. This kid was just like crazy fearless. And then it's something that you learned. You learned that, oh, you're supposed to be scared because people tell you that, oh, but that the idea, and I'm like, the key is to like, how long can you keep your original identity intact? And then when I look at back mine, that 8-year-old Jennifer was literally, I often say that, okay, I had understood everything when I was 8, and then I forgot. Because that's when I decided I could do anything. That's when I would step on the court and be like, I'm going to win. And I'm going to blow the other girl on the court. I don't care who she is. I'm going to do what I have to do. If I lose, I lose. But I was really fearless. And then I'm trying to come back to it. And because this is my natural self, the whole fear, these are learned behaviors. And of course, you need fear. We're humans. But the core of who you are is really what you should go back to or try to keep as long as possible. So I can't remember what was the question, but I think if it was something, yes, about what would I change or what am I stuck? I think it's like the fear of like trusting my intuition, because my intuition is very good. But I was told many times that, oh no, you're wrong, when actually I was right. So now it's like to be like, you know what? When you want to do something, go and do it. Because your intuition is really good and it's really solid. So I think that's what it is. I'm stuck in still like going back to this old self that is a bit afraid, and that my original self that is like, hey, you know what? Do what you have to do. Believe in yourself. You can do things very fast and very good. And you don't need to like struggle. You don't need to like, you know, the whole struggle story. That no, you sometimes you do, but sometimes you don't. And know when the difference is. But if you believe in yourself, then yes, you will actually get better. So I think it's like trusting myself more. And I told myself, and that's why I'm sharing that with you. Like, okay, how would I act if I was getting rid of the shame, the guilt, and I need to invest in myself and believe in myself like I ever have. That's really the goal. That's what it is, to really believe to the point that, like kids say today, the Lulu, you know? Like that's what it is. That's where I'm stuck in, stuck at, sorry, and what I need to do.
Everything about you saying is just really resonating right now, Jennifer. Like, few things that come to mind right now as you say that. It's like one, the element of the original self, right? Like that right there, I've never heard it said in that way. Like, but there's something there. So if it's not already in your work here and like in the leadership you do, like I would bring that in and find a way to like incorporate that because there's something very freeing around it. And it's like, yes, the question of what would I do if I had no shame came up, but the answer was I would be my original self, you know? And so like when I hear that, it's like, okay, in what ways can I be my original self today? And so now I'm asking myself that, and what it's taken me to is the first question in my mind is, well, when was I my original self, right? And so I think back to childhood, my memory is not that great, and so what it takes me to is actually the college, because in college I was free. You know, like I my thought of college, I got into a good school, but I didn't even know it existed. So my general thing was like, once I got there, I thought I had already accomplished, I had left the world that I had known. I'd accomplished everything that I thought I was like, I don't know how to describe it, but I was like, I was already there. So I'm like, all I gotta do is graduate. And so for like, yeah, so I that time I actually call it like Neo Nemo. Like it was like the fresh Nemo, like this in there and just doing whatever I pleased, you know? And I think back to it now, and I'm like, in a time when I didn't have obligation, or I didn't allow myself to have, like, I didn't look at life as an obligation, you know? What was it that I did? Where did I gravitate to? I was old enough to make my own choices, and I did, you know? And I think it's part of the reason why, like, the podcast came back, because I would sing in acapella shows. You'd have like 700 seats, and I would make it a thing to sell out at least one seventh. Like, if I didn't sell out 100 tickets, I'm like, something was wrong that season for me, you know? And I remember knocking door to door, like going to every single room in every single dorm, and be like, "Hey, you're coming to the show, right? With the ticket, like just like a presupposition, and like, here, take the ticket. I'll write your name down. I'll come get the money later." Like, it was just like, but all I wanted to do was just share this thing I was doing. You know, and so when you say that original stuff, it's taking me back to that moment. I invite anyone that's listening right now, like, just think, go back to what is original stuff. When did you see those moments, Jennifer? What do you like? Add on. Let's riff off a bit more. Then we're going in a different direction. But this feels great. I love this
Yeah,
one.
no, that's amazing. And thank you so much for sharing. I literally saw you with the thing and then going and knocking on the door and then like saying, "Hey, you coming?" And then trusting, "Yeah, you're gonna pay me." That was very powerful. And I think for the people who are listening, like you said, your original self, you actually know, is that sometimes you because it's kind of sad and hurtful sometimes to let that go. So we put a pile of things, but when we settle, when we just relax, we know exactly what it is. We know exactly, like you said, if we were free, what would you do? And right away, you know. Or if you don't, just don't worry about it, but just put the question in your mind. The answer will come, like, very, if you are aware, if you pay attention, the answer will come, and you know what it is. You know what your original self is. You know who you were originally. You were acting, and it doesn't mean that we and are. And the beauty of it is that our original self is different for everyone. You were like, you know what? I thought it was amazing, but we were different. But it was something true to you. I was different as well. So it's not like you have to be like someone or the original self should be this or that. No, who you actually are, your true nature. And you realize that, and I realized that what was told for me to be, my empathy, my sensitivity, like which is a good thing and a bad thing when you're a tennis player. You need to have this shock empathy to sense how the other person feel, but at the same time, you don't want to be too emotional. So all those things were kind of like suppressed for so many years, but this is what makes me great. My ability to read people is what I use on a regular basis, and I never knew it was something special because it was always kind of like shamed. And I realized that, oh, a lot of things that were great about me were like, oh no, that's you should not be like this, be that a certain way. So you tend to could kind of put what are your greatest assets on the side. But now I'm just like, I do public speaking when actually I grew up with like coaches and people telling me, oh, you talk too much. Now I have a podcast. And my role is to make sure people talk too much because that's who I am. I've always been that person. I've always been that vocal kid that was asking 20,000 questions. I've always been that person. So it's like now I'm just going back to who I was. I just took like a 20, like I said, like a 20-year detour. But now, and then I see when I'm on stage, it feels home. Like I haven't felt that way. And I had great tennis wins, but I know that when I'm on the stage, when I'm sharing, when I'm talking, it feels like home. Like that's when I know that this is my thing. And not just because I want to be seen, because I know that, okay, I'm going to bring something to other people. When I'm talking to you right now, I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
I feel you, like, and there's something in what you said around like a 20-year detour that, like, it doesn't, like, I hear it, and maybe that's true for other people, but it doesn't feel true for you. It feels like when I'm talking to you right now, I feel like you've always been on your path, right? And to get to this place here, like the path for you was through tennis at a point. But like, and we're gonna go spend most of our time now talking about like the leadership and the speech and everything you do now. But it just doesn't, it doesn't feel anywhere out of alignment. Like, I don't think we would be having this conversation had you not gotten like decades of training in like in all those other areas, so that you can keep stepping on a bigger and bigger stages. And like you know what it's like to feel pressure. Like, this is like
It's interesting, and thank you for saying that. Really, I mean it, because it's true that sometimes you feel that, okay, I didn't win Grand Slam, so I shouldn't, I'm not a real tennis professional tennis player. When you what you just said, I was like having a like, oh, okay, you just changed something in me forever, because I'm like this. When I get it, I get it. I don't need I don't need time. But what you said, it's true, because it's not a detour. And you're right that for me, I feel like every single thing I learned on the court makes me coach the way I coach. And you're right about handling the pressure. I did a TEDx last week, and I prepped myself the way I was prepping before a match. I put on my music. I went before, I went in the zone. I was, and then when I, by the time I was on stage and I could see people around with the nerves because they're not trained the same way I am. So I knew that. Yeah. And it's funny how I was talking about it earlier, because, and even like the, you know, before match, it's not intimidate people, but you want to show that you're gonna be the best. And although I'm not a player, although there's no competition, although I don't care about the other, I mean, I want them to succeed because there's no whatever, but it's still there. I still want to go there and kick their ass, although there's nothing. And I still want to, before we step on the stage, I want to, by the way I behave, and this is not fake, this is just the way I am. I want to show that I'm going to be the best and that this is what it's going to be. And then some girl actually came to me because I was rehearsing, and she's like, "Oh, you seem very comfortable." I was like, "Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's the point. I want everyone to see that I actually don't need to rehearse my speech, that I can," because what I did actually is that I came on stage, I just test the micro, and then I started talking to the students on the audience and crack jokes. Because I knew they were watching. And I was like, "Jennifer, why do you still do this kind of stuff? Like, you don't have to." But first of all, I didn't want to give my speech before. And also because that's who I am. I was like, I'm competitive. I tried so hard not to. I tried like to be, oh, you know, like we all, but I know that this will always be part of me. And I'm not doing that to I don't know, to be mean to other people. It's just like that's my nature. And then I was in an environment in which, like, and we can talk about this now, but in which this, when I go back to normal, when I went back to normal life, oh my gosh, people hated it, because I came as a train, as an athlete. So I will come be 15 minutes before work because you come to do warm up. Yeah, you don't come at the time of practice. No, when time of practice, you must be ready to go. So I come 15 minutes before, and then I will leave sometimes, you know, 15 minutes after, because things need to be done. I need to do my stretching. And that, so I had the same mindset. And some of my colleagues were like, "Oh, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this for you. I don't care. If you want to leave at 5, please be my guest. I don't care." And one day my manager even, like, it was funny because, you know, some managers, they just wait to leave after you to say that they were the last one. So one day I'm doing my, and I'm really like military, like the time I was going to the minute. So I'm doing my thing, but that one time I had to do something else. So I said, "Okay, it's okay. I will leave 15 minutes later." So I'm doing my thing, not minding my business. And then one day I see him, at one point he goes like, "Oh my gosh, I'm gonna be late. Oh my gosh." And I'm just like, and then he's like, "But you're still here." And I'm like, "Yeah, but I mean, you can, like, what does it have to do with me?" Like, and then, you know, this is what he said. Then he's like, and that's when sometimes I don't understand people, because they just really talk too much. And then he was like, "Oh, but usually you leave at that time because I'm supposed to go and pick up my daughter." And I'm like, "So basically, I'm your And then he told me, and then it was almost like he was like, but this is your fault. And I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't know that you were waiting for me to leave so then you could go. Because yeah, I would literally leave at the same time by the minute. But I didn't know that someone else is like, oh, okay, now she's gone, I can leave. This is ridiculous. And then I just looked at him and I said, oh, I'm sorry. Like, you're ridiculous, but you know what? I'm just gonna let that slide. So it's just a way I'm doing things for me. I'm not doing that for other people. But yeah, if we are going to something, hey, I'm still gonna come with my A game and I'm gonna tell you that I'm prepared. If you cannot handle it, that's not my problem.
Oh, I love this gentleman. You got me like just smiling. Like I honestly think that the
I
official
came today. I said, I'm gonna be doing my thing. Yeah.
I love it because it's like I think the official phrase is cheesing. I'm cheesing over here. And so, do you mind if I unpack some of the things like and just reflect back some of what I heard and
Sure.
like and actually like if it's I would actually just like to share the experience I'm having of you. And like and so what happens is that for me, what happens is that every once in a while, I'm like, oh, she's a player, like she's playing the game. What and like and like and whatever game, like the game that she's playing, she's here to win, right? And so at my core, like if I go back to like my original self, play is there, And part of the, like I'm always looking for who else is playing. And what's cool for me is like you talked about like how you showed up prepared and you wanted to make sure everyone knew, and it's like and it was like an aura to you and you made the choices there and like even by just like it wasn't it was all intentional, not malicious,
Yeah,
but intentional,
exactly. Yeah.
right? And you're like, this is how you show up and
Yeah.
like this like you show up 15 minutes early, you come prepared for everything, right? Like you're ready to go before you get on, And what's fun for me is like as you were saying this, I was imagining myself. And they're like on a bad day, like intimidated, right? Cool. But on a great day, which is like on a normal day, I would look at that and be like, oh, so this is the level we're playing at? And it would have called something to me to be like, oh, great. Like I don't have to now like come off as though I don't know what I'm doing or that I'm shy about this. It's like we can just be cool and smooth and put that out there. So there's something in what you're saying that actually felt that feels like very freeing to
Yes.
those who are like playing
Yes.
at that level.
Absolutely. And you know why? And thank you for understanding that it's not malicious and it's intentional. And you know why? And I really love that. I'm gonna use it. It's intentional because, like you said, you don't want to shrink. I had to shrink my whole life, and it got me nowhere. You know, you had to shrink. When I was little, I was just coming and then people would come and say my mom, oh, she's too proud, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, it's not what it is. It's just that we told her that, okay, she needs to stand up straight and that she has and act like she has some sense. I mean, my sister and my brother are older than me. And they were telling me when I was little, if you act like a fool, you're gonna stay at home. So I was like, yeah, okay, I need to get there. So I need to get my stuff together so I can hang out with the big ones. So I always had that thing of like, and you're not gonna act like a fool. If you know something, you're not gonna pretend to be dumb. I know that sometimes it's a problem. I mean, it's the story of my life. People think I'm arrogant and stuff. It's not what it is, but I am not going to be mediocre for your own comfort. And I've done that. And honestly, you hate yourself. Because it's not who you are, and it actually doesn't do service to anyone. When I do this, and when I it's because I want to actually tell the new Jennifers who are 15 that it's okay to be like this, and it's okay to take your place. And it's not your role because I'm not hurting anyone. You will never see me and go into someone and say, you know what, you suck or I'm better than you. You will never see me. If I'm better than you, like you said, we'll see this on the court. Like that's the life I lived. If you're better than me, come and beat me. Then you can say you're better than me. Like and tennis is a sport in which it's very easy. You win, you lose. That's it. And in life, sometimes you feel like people are always want to, oh, you have to be humble. Yes, humility is important, and I'm very humble, but I'm not going to tell you that I suck if I don't. And I'm not going to tell you that, oh, I'm the best. No, I'm just going to show you. And then you want to call me the best one, that's on you. I don't care. But and that's really why I'm like this. The way I present myself is to show the people, because I mean, you in the US, but in France, people like me, like black women who are doing things, you don't, they don't show us. We don't exist. We see the idiotic stereotypes of people who don't even understand what they're doing when they actually, keep portray perpetrating those stereotypes because they get paid. So I guess they're gonna do what they're gonna do. But so then when people see people like me, it's like a bug in the system. They're like, wait, what? And I've seen that my entire life. And as a matter of fact, people, it's funny, people all the time believe that I'm American or that I'm English. Like in France, like this happens to me all the time. Like I travel, I give my French passport, like, oh, we thought that you were French, or you were sorry, no, you were American. You, why? Okay, my name is Jennifer. But even before I opened my mouth, like it happened to me again last week, walking in the street of Bordeaux, some guy stops, is a musician, was trying to give my CD. He's like, oh, I thought you were American. And I'm like, and that's the problem. So I'm like, yeah, I'm used to it, but it's a problem because it means that they don't think that we exist. And then the question is like, but why don't you see people like me? Because there are many. I have many friends like me. Why don't you see more women like me? And that's why I'm here, and that's why I'm vocal, because I want to say to the girls that I, because I do a lot of talks in high school and middle schools. And I just want them to see me. Like, I don't think I'm successful, but I just want put a seed of possibility in their mind, saying, hey, this is possible. You don't need, because when I grew up, three options to be rich in France: dance, music, sports. I like dancing, but I'm not, whatever. I cannot sing to save my life. And sports. That was the only, there were a lot when actually, my thing was writing. I was wanting to be a writer. I was wanting to tell stories. That was the thing that really made my heart sing, was writing and telling stories. So again, I'm coming back to it because I allowed myself again, because the only black authors that we were seeing were the people talking about genocide and other harsh stuff. And I was like, but I didn't live through those things, so I didn't feel legitimate enough to do those things. So again, representation matters, and that's why I'm here. That's why I'm doing this. That's why every chance I have to speak, I do it, because I want to create a bug. Maybe three people, I don't wish that three people will see the video, but maybe one of those three people will be like a young girl not knowing, and then like, oh, okay, it's possible. That's what I'm doing, and that's why I'm doing what I do.
As you're saying, like I'm having waves come over me. So first of all,
Yeah,
thank
I'm
you.
like,
No,
sorry.
it's not you. It's not you. It's my experience of it, right? Because like I have the pleasure of talking to a lot of people, and so many people say, I just like I didn't know it was even possible. And when you say like when I say so many people, I have to also include myself in it because like I told you, I went to a school that I didn't know it existed. It was an Ivy League school. I had no clue it existed, you know. They sent me at something and I filled it out and they're like, oh, you got in. So I was like, I guess I'm here. But it was like from that point on, I was just making it up, you know? And so that word possibility really hits. It really hits. It's hard. It's part of why I do this because I'm like, y'all know that it is possible. Like just because you haven't seen it, it's because other people haven't done it. It's because they were waiting for you. They're waiting for you to come do your thing, you know? And in the meantime, like Jennifer is gonna shine a light, you know? Like you're gonna get all these different people that are shining lights and saying, here goes our path. This is where we've gotten. It means that your thing could happen too. It may not be easy. Show up prepared, you know, be ready. Like be ready for people to come and say, like, in your own home country, like, are you here? One of the things I really appreciate about you, Jennifer, I just want to say this right now, is that I really get that you belong to yourself. I really get that you belong to yourself. When it comes up in the conversations, like to me, there's three distinctions. There's fitting in, fitting out, and belonging, right? Most people talk about fitting in and belonging. The fitting out part was something that I did, which was like, I was I was the only one of the only black like people in the things that I did, right? And so, but I didn't want to be considered that way, so I fitted out from the standpoint of being like the class clown, the weird one, the one that was in all the things. Like when you talked about like being involved in so much, I'm like, I get it, but I wouldn't be involved in like the African American club. I was in the Asian club. I was in the physics club. I was in like you go look at my senior year yearbook and all the photos. I'm in all these different clubs except for where I was supposed to be, quote unquote, quote
Yeah,
unquote.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. And thank you so much for sharing that. And for I think and I want to sorry I interrupted you because
You're
I
good. You're good. We're just flowing.
I really want to talk about that because I think that it's a real thing. And I grew up playing tennis, okay, before Venus and Serena. Now, I mean, my niece, like, she had like black coaches. For me, I was like, what? When she told me this, I was like, please, what? She's like, and for her, it was normal. And I was just like, and she grew up watching Venus and Serena. I was like, no, but I grew up at the time where, I mean, that wasn't like this. And so when they came and when they and then Venus and Serena came and then I was like 11, 12. So it was like, oh, and then I was compared to them because people don't even, oh, okay, black people, okay, they are the same. Well, okay, yeah, sure. So there was, like you said, the fitting out. I didn't know actually that word. And you had that thing where you also in a culture, I don't know how it is in the US, but in France where it actually is pushed to do that, to be the chosen one. And you don't want to be associated because otherwise what other people are going to say, oh, look at these people, they stay among themselves. And I see this to this very day. I mean, in Paris is different. I live in Bordeaux, but I see this all the time. And I can tell when people, I can tell the black people who were staying in Bordeaux their whole life and the one who traveled, different behaviors. You have people like, oh, they don't want, okay, we don't want to be associated with her because what are they gonna say? And it's just like, and then it's something that you had to learn. And it's really this kind of negativity of like, oh, you have to separate yourself from your own, which I mean, I don't think it's a good thing. I think that you need to be with the people you feel comfortable with. And I think that there's a lot to that could be a whole conversation. But we're not going to go there. But I think that it's important that, yeah, because you want to fit in and at the same time, you want to be, I think a lot of time we do this because we want to be seen as an individual and not as a collective. So that's why you're like, well, if I'm part of the group, then they are like this. The same way that why do I had a conversation that one very openly, why do when someone acts crazy in a bus, and the person is black, all the black people are like, oh my gosh, she's gonna embarrass all of us. But if a white person does the same thing, no one is just gonna be like, this is a crazy person. And it's just like, oh, because that's the way society is, because yes, society is very quick to put labels on people. So because you don't want to be labeled a certain way, especially when the stereotypes are negative, you have the tendency to, okay, kind of distance yourself, not because you want to, but because you just want to be seen as a person. So thank you so much for sharing that. And that's why I wanted to spend time on this because I think that, and it's actually the first time I actually realized that like that, thanks to your story. So I'm very grateful.
Well, I'm grateful for you, Jennifer. Yeah, I'm really grateful. Some of the things you don't know about me, but I'll share right now, is I just became a black man probably 5 years ago, right? Up until then, I've always looked the way that I've looked, but up until then, part of where I was one who I distanced myself, I distanced myself, and I thought like the way to get ahead, like, and it was just like there's so many different things around it,
I
but
get it.
it wasn't until about 5 years ago or so that I realized, I'm like, oh, this is also a part of me. If when I was in college, I said Neo Nemo. It's because I went by the nickname of Nemo for 20 years. And that's why when you talked about like the detour, I had a 20-year like experience where I was
Wow.
going through life as Nemo. Like it was on my resumes. Like it's like people like
Oh,
yeah like legit like it's I have my even my one of my first coaching like sites is like I was like I have to go out legit. Here's the thing. I am all about authenticity and how people be
yeah.
more of who they are. Like literally my number one like value is be more you. And so I had to live that. And so I created NemoAshang.com as if Nemo Ashang was a real person, you know?
Yeah.
But it was who I was. And it wasn't like I had like this moment, I had this like I had this moment where actually I'll go and get into the context of today, but I was in a group of powerful people who were powerful coaches who told me things straight, right? They're the kind of people who like would show up and be like they would be like, I don't know how to describe it, but they would just be like, they would see you on stage and be like, ah, this is so worth it. I'm playing with other A players. You know what I mean? Like that's how like they're that kind of group. And they would look, one of them came to me and said, like, you have this powerful name, Niyama, and you're using the name Nemo, which in Latin literally means no one. You're literally going around saying that, like, yeah. And
Wow.
here goes the thing that it's funny because we're sitting around this circle, right? And it's like it's a powerful circle. Like we're holding things strongly. And I look at the person, I'm like, thanks, but no thanks. Like I am Nemo, right? And then someone
Oh.
afterwards comes out and he says something. I think it was and the two of them had it happen together. He said, ooh, it's been a while since I've gone back to this moment, but I was frustrated because people weren't understanding me. And he said, you know, the reason that we don't understand you is because you talk fluffy, you go around the thing, you don't go straight to the core, you talk vanilla and all around white. It's like you are a big, strong, beautiful black man. And when you just say what's on your mind, we see you and we can hear you. And all this other stuff is getting in the way of that. And
Wow.
that combo of that conversation with someone just calling out the Nemo Niyama, like literally 2 minutes beforehand, like I can only describe it as like a dimensional rift opened up inside of me. And like it was almost like Niyama was like, am I allowed to come back out here? For the next
Oh,
20
I
minutes,
love
I just
it.
wrote it. Yeah. So like there is, it is, it's very it's why it's so insidious to me where it's like it's so hard to see, you know, even though it's right there. And so I'm glad we're having this conversation. I'm glad that
Yeah,
this
me
is
too.
on the air. Like it is part of the journey, and it's also like it's part of the self,
Yeah.
part of the self.
I honestly I'm blown away, and I mean, you know, because I was going to ask you what was the trigger, but you actually answered beautifully that story, and I really I'm so touched because of that conversation of, okay, do you know that Nemo means no one? And that is just like when you say that, my brain again exploded. I was like, what? And it's actually so funny because you didn't know that, right?
I knew from the very beginning. I took Latin in high school.
Oh, you
I did.
knew?
I knew, but it also meant that
Oh, wow.
there was this cute orange fish. Well, you're from France, so you might
What?
enjoy this here. But like, because I was actually nicknamed Nemo from like this the
From the
French
cartoon?
cartoon. Yeah, the French cartoon.
Yeah,
Not the
okay, yeah.
fish, but like the flying around in a bed, Adventures in
Yeah,
Dreamland.
yeah, yeah,
Yeah. I was nicknamed Nemo there because I was getting some other bad nicknames. They wanted to give me some nicknames, and that they weren't working. Yeah,
yeah.
and so
Oh,
when the movie came out, when the fish movie came out, it was so positively received that it had already
wow.
been bestowed this Nemo
Wow.
name, and then I just wrote that, and it was good. Like it was my life was easy with Nemo as a
Yeah.
name. You know, you walk in the door and people are
Yeah.
like the fish, like, and
Yeah.
again going from the element of like separating myself and being like
Yes.
and wanting to be seen as an individual, I would rather be seen as an orange fish that doesn't exist, you know,
Yes.
and like be like, oh yeah, like I just
Yeah.
got so much bestowed from that,
Yeah.
you know. It really became a thing where now we're talking. Part of the reason that I wanted to go back to the Yama when I was doing all this work, I knew I was complete. Like it was so complete at like after
Wow.
that conversation. But I thought to myself, and like in the US we had a president called Barack Obama, and I thought to myself, like, for everything that he accomplished, if he was Barry Obama,
Oh,
which I'm
yeah.
sure so many people wanted him to be, If he
That's
was
so
Barry
true.
Obama, the level of his accomplishment, same man, same
Wow.
everything, would have
You're
gone
right.
down a level or two.
You're right. You know what's funny? Every time I hear Barry, I'm like, why did call him like that? Like it, you know, because actually I was in the US when he was elected. So it was interesting because I think it was my senior year. And I remember like it's so funny because I did my uni in Indiana, and it was like a really nice day. It doesn't happen in November. Like it was really this kind of very nice and warm. And then I still remember like the beautiful leaves and stuff. And I was like, what's happening? Okay, something is gonna happen tonight because this is crazy. And then I remember that I went home and I was watching the election results. And I remember vividly that moment where I was living maybe 10 minutes away from campus. And I remember being like, why would I tell, my kids when they will ask me, where were you at that time? I cannot tell it. And I'm always looking for a good story. See, that thing was already coming back. And I was like, I cannot tell them because I wouldn't lie to them. I cannot do that. I cannot tell them that I was just sitting in my room and watching. So it's like 11 p.m. I remember, and I took my bike. And then I remember because there was a train. There was a train passing, and usually like we could and the trains in the U.S. I mean, they are kind of old, so it's like really like in the movies. And so the train is passing, so I'm blocked, and I'm sitting with that. And then there's this guy in his car, and I'm just like, I just hope that because there's no way to go. I'm like, I'm just hope that he's okay with that because I don't want him to shoot me. I remember like thinking that. And it was crazy. And then the guy was not even looking at me, he wasn't paying attention, but it was better for the story, I was creating the whole drama. And then I remember going back on campus because my roommates were still there studying, doing something. And then it was really funny because I remember that moment where, so it's, I don't know, maybe midnight or something. And then there was we were going back home. So then we were all together when it happened. Then we were going back home and we were hearing the first speech. And I remember, and they put like a big screen in the city. And then I remember that we heard, Obama giving his first speech, and we were just following the voice. And I remember that moment because we didn't know where we're coming from. So we were just following the voice with our bike in the dark. And I remember the moment and be like, nah, that's a good story to tell. So I never told that story, but nah, thank you. Thanks to you. 16 years later, I was able to say it. But it was something, yeah, you're right. The names, I can't remember the name of that actress that wanted to change her name. Oh, I think she played in Orange is the New Black. I can't remember her name because I wasn't watching the show. But she wanted to change her name. And then she went to a mom, and the mom said, if people can say Dostoevsky, they can learn to say your name. And I think that was the best story ever. I was like, yeah, and I mean, I understand. I work for a Chinese company. And I remember that my colleagues were changing their names to have American names, and I was like, "Uh-oh, I'm gonna practice until I can say your name right. There's because you can say my name, you can speak English. There's no way I'm going to. And I'm working for a Chinese company. I'm learning your name. Don't. And they had French names. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not saying your French name. I'm gonna learn to say it, and you're gonna correct me until I say it right. That's me. That's what I do. But I
This
know
here
people."
is like it means a lot to me. I talk about the power of the name, like, because it goes back to the element of belonging, right? It's like
Yeah,
I
of
belong,
course.
and I and like and it's not just it's not I'm gonna make it convenient for you. It's you. We belong together, and as such, like, I'm going to see you. It's an element of seeing someone,
Course.
and like over and over and over again. It's and it's like I'd rather mess up 100
Yeah.
times so that the 101st time and every time afterwards, you know that you are seen. And along the way, I'm like it is, it makes a difference. It makes a massive difference. Jennifer, I am thoroughly enjoying this conversation. We are like right up to the top of our time here. So we're gonna end this conversation in right now. What I like to ask you is this here. Firstly, what was your biggest insight from today's conversation?
I think, you know, it's funny because I think trust is the first word that comes to me. And I'll tell you why, because I like to come when I do interviews. You know, I do podcast as well. So when I come to interview, I'm super prepared. But when I do interviews, I really like to it's not that I come in prepared, but I always come with the very strong intention of being the realest as possible and to fully trust that the interviewer will ask me the right questions and that I will be able to share my message, which is always the same. Be the best version of yourself and be focused on you. Help as many people as you can. But at the end of the day, you want to get real and to get rid of, again, now it's going to be my thing, get rid of the shame and go back to your original self. And how can you do that? And it's not easy. It's not easy because it has a, we pay a price. I mean, I pay the price of like being that real person because I'm not for everyone, but that's for sure. I mean, I've been like this my whole life. You know, it's like it's the story of my life, but I'd rather not be for everyone than waking up in the middle of the night and then like hating myself because I feel like I'm disappointing myself. Like that 8-year-old Jennifer that had like dreams that felt like she can do everything, she's there. And I know that I sometimes let her down by trying to fit in, but now I'm just like, okay, yeah. I want to make her proud more than anyone else. That's really why I'm doing what I do. And I know that, but sometimes you like you said, you have to go out of your way to survive because we human beings and we need to, we're social beings. And of course we need to fit in. Like I don't tell people, oh, you know what, just tell, you know, the F word to everyone and just live your life. No, that's what it is. But I also tell them that bravery is important, and when you start being brave, you actually empower other people to be brave, and then you start to have your own community, and that community is for real.
That
It is.
I think that's it. Like I will say in this conversation, like I'm like, oh, she's my people. Like that's all. Like that's all. Like, all that's going on. I'm like we. And this is why I think we were able to riff and jam for this month. Like this conversation, like has its own quality. Like
Yeah.
because we, like we're showing up, and I'm like this is it. This is fun. This is what I'm about. About to wrap up the conversation. So, can we let people know, like, 'cause I think that they got a chance to get to see you, and we know, and like, and do, and like, you've lived what leadership is. You've lived like being able to like speak to what I consider like very enlightened leadership, and like, and be like letting your being be the leadership rather than like the skill set involved. Like you're actually living it, as well as clearly your communication and the storytelling. So if someone wants to go deeper down this journey, if they want to get to know you more, if they want to keep seeing where you go, you know, where what's the best way for them to do that?
So the best way, the two ways. So I talk a lot about, yeah, because we haven't discussed that, but I do a lot of like public speaking content on my LinkedIn. So I talk about like public speaking, you know, how to be more confident, give tips, and also about leadership. And I have my podcast that I'm the Speech House podcast, in which, you know, my goal is to have those difficult conversations like the one we have. And actually, I'm making a formal invitation, Yama, to have me on my podcast because I think that I really want to continue that conversation. It was super awesome. And really the goal is to help people to become better communicators so they can become better leaders. So I think the Speech House podcast, but LinkedIn is really where you will find me. I'm trying to play the Instagram game. I'm not really into it yet, but yeah, LinkedIn and the podcast, definitely
On
the ones.
LinkedIn, do we look for your name? Do we look for the speech house? What do we look for?
Yeah, so for LinkedIn, you look for my name, Jennifer Migon. Yes, then you will find it. But then for the podcast, yeah, the Speech House podcast, and you will find it. So that's how you find me.
All right, Outliers, and like when you go to the Speech House podcast, like look out for the conversation with me and Jennifer on over there as well. All right,
Yes.
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, end up with one last question here. It's a time capsule question, which is if you had to leave a message, knowing what you know right now, if you had to leave a message for yourself to listen to about 10 years from now, what's the message that you would want to leave right now for yourself in the future?
So I would definitely talk to 15-year-old Jennifer.
Not that
Yeah.
way, the other way around. Someone who's 15 years older. So the wisdom you have
Ah,
right now,
okay.
yeah.
Ah, okay. Okay, sorry. I will. Oh, I leave a message.
Leave
Oh,
a
that's
message now for
interesting.
them. Yep.
Okay. I will say, hey, I'm going to invest and believe in myself like I never did. And I hope to see you chilling with a glass of wine and having great food on the other side.
With that, we will end today's conversation. Jennifer, you're amazing.
The French had to come back, with the wine and the food. I'm sorry, like that's what we
That,
do.
you are who you are. We'll take that, all right? All the best in journey on, Jennifer.
You so much, Nyama. It was amazing.